Hallelujah. Morning, Shabbat Shalom. You know, Matt, you messed me up with that song, brother. You know, as a Torah teacher, one of the things that we try to do is to try to lead people into the righteousness of the Creator. And how do we do that? By bringing Him into the presence of the Most High. Now, there's a requirement of how do we get to the presence of the Most High. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. First of all, before anything, I want to thank my friend Jim for allowing me to come and share. I tell you, I met this guy and we hit it off, and I can consider him my friend. And I pray and I hope that all of you keep him in your prayers, because he's doing something that is not very well practiced in the Messianic movement. So please, let's support each other. And remember, we're in different places in our walk, and we're going to walk together to edify the body of Messiah. And that's what the teaching is all about. And also, I want to give thanks to my wife and my son who's with me. My oldest is at home. But I really wouldn't be here and do what I'm doing if it wasn't because my wife and my kids, you know, and they're really very supportive, and they're people of God. And it's always nice when you have a family who are basically in tune with you to give the all glory and the honor to our King. Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you, we exalt your holy name today. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, which we come before you to praise you, to lift you up. Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I pray that this morning, on your Shabbat, your set-aside day, that you will anoint this place according to your will, according to your perfect presence. Father, I praise you, I lift you up, and that may all these people praise your holy name in unity, in harmony, in one consent, one mind, one voice. Teach us, O Lord, your commandments, and we will run to your statutes. Put your Torah within our hearts, that we will always stand before you in righteousness as your people Israel, to be an example amongst the nations. Father, I ask you that please this morning you give us your wisdom, your understanding, your discernment, that we may see the heart of your heart upon the people, how you desire for us to come to your presence. Now, Father, my King and my shield, my strength, may we do it in a respectful manner. May we do it with awe and reverence, because you are our King and you are our Creator, and we acknowledge you and you rule over us, for we are your servants. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen. This morning, I'd like to address something that, in my opinion, is one of the most important things that we have to do in these last days. Last night, we're talking about restoration, right? Now, we got to make a pact right from the get-go. I'm Puerto Rican, we have soul. You guys got to give me an amen once in a while. I know I have a few Puerto Ricans in the house, so I'm feeling right at home right now. Bobby, where are you? Bobby? Orfa, where are you? Raise your hand. There you are. So when these people don't want to say nothing, I'm looking at you, brother. I believe that if we are in the last days, as the scripture tells us, as all the events that are happening around us are basically witnessings, right? Would you agree with me that He is restoring all things? Now, would you agree with me that if He's restoring everything, includes the worship of the Creator? Now, one of the things, and I got to tell you, this is a four-hour teaching that I'm going to show you. I'm going to try to do it in an hour and a half. I don't think so. But I'm going to try to give you the highlights of what I believe is important of one part of restoration. Many people in the Messianic movement are arguing about two house, one house. Sacred name, no name. Lunar Sabbath, weekly Sabbath. What else? Anything else? Anyway. So the problem is that you can argue theology all you want, but when it comes to the worship of Yahweh, it's not up for discussion. It's not about how you think it is. It's not about what you think is proper. It is what He has established from creation. Because after all, this is His realm. This is His earth. This is His galaxy. This is all the heavens belong to Him. And He said, this is the way you worship me. And it's not up for discussion. Yes, sir. Yes, Father. Whatever you say, just teach me to be obedient. The problem that we're having is that we want to do things the way we want to do things. And Yahweh wants to let you know, it's time to stop. Now do it my way. If you do it His ways, you will be guaranteed to have a personal encounter with the Messiah in the way to see the Father. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe Yeshua is Mashiach? How many of you believe that He is our high priest right now? Yes. How many of you believe that He will be king on the earth? Yes. How many many of you believe that you are the kingdom? That he will restore you back into the land. So if Yeshua will walk in through the doors right now, will you know how to render honor to your king? If you don't know the answer, then we better reevaluate our spiritual mind, our theological concepts, and do away with what we thought was right, and go back to the beginning to understand the protocol of how to come to the presence of the king. And that's the challenge. Because it takes away from our will, and he puts his heart within us. Amen? That's why we're saying, for you are holy, you are righteous. Let me try to sing this. This is beautiful. For you are holy, you are righteous, worthy of all praise. Isn't that beautiful? What if you learn to go right through the tabernacle and you learn repentance, reconciliation, sanctification? Then you go into the holy place, and then there you have the bread of life. Then here you have the light of the world, and then you go present yourself before the altar of incense and you begin to sing. For you are holy. But if you don't know how to come to the door with a proper respect, you will never get the chance to go into the holy place. And this is the one thing we have to understand. We say we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we are defiling ourselves by theological concepts of what we think worship is. And I submit to you that if we proclaim that he is holy, that he is righteous, then we better learn what holiness and what righteousness according to Scripture. Because then we are trying to bring a defiled concept of worship into the worship of Yahweh. And every time Israel did that on Mount Sinai, Let me show you that slide. Here we have one of the greatest events. Oh, how much I would love to be in that place. To think that the presence of the Creator of the universe revealed himself to one people, the smallest nations of the earth, not because they were greatest, not because they were smartest, not because they were the strongest. They were the most insignificant country in the world, and yet he redeemed them by his strong arm. He takes them in the wilderness, and then he takes them to a mountaintop. And he says, I will show you who I am. And then he spoke from heaven, scared the living daylight out. Because when you begin to walk in the presence of Yahweh, his worship will scare you. Because none of us can be in the presence of the Creator and not shake. Are you with me? And this is something, why am I passionate about this? Because when I see this, I wish I was there. I wish to have the opportunity to hear the voice of my Creator. You have no idea how many hours I spend. Father, speak to me. Let me hear your voice. But then when I read the Torah, I says, okay, Father, just let me hear Yeshua. Because I recognize that if Yahweh will speak, the frequencies that emanate from his voice will resound to the deepest part of my cells. And everything begins to shake. I don't know if you understand where I'm coming from today. Therefore, we have the tabernacle in the wilderness, and you see a mountain, you see the cloud, you see a camp, and you notice that around the mountain and around there's the tabernacle. I don't know how accurate that is, but just for the sake of argument, say that is, okay? Imagine that we were in the camp of Israel. What is the most significant thing in the middle of the camp? This is what you need to understand. What is in the middle of the camp of Israel? The presence, the Shekhinah of Yahweh. The presence of Yahweh is what keeps the camp together. Every time you disobey the Torah, you have to go outside the camp. Listen to what happened. Yahweh says, if you obey my voice indeed and you keep my covenant, I will keep you. Let me go back to the read this. I don't like to paraphrase stuff. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And then they said on verse 8. Then all the people answered together and said, all that Adonai have spoken we will do. Okay. So there is a cloud. Then you have the cloud. And then he speaks. People don't want to hear. It's just like, all of you have been praying. How come you're here today? You say, Lord, please, give me truth. Break me. It's supposed to be funny. Please, Lord, break me. Do it over. Teach me your truth. And then somebody says, hey, have you heard about Sabbath? Oh, no, that's done away with. Then you go back, please, Lord, I want to be your temple. I want to be your sanctuary. And he says, hey, how about eating kosher? About eating things that God says to eat and don't eat what he don't say. Oh, no, that's done away with at the cross. Then you go back to your prayer. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, Father, break me. Do it again. And he says, how about the Torah? Oh, no, no, no. That's a Jewish thing. Jews. I want to deal with them. I submit to you that the Torah is the heart of the Creator. And when you don't want the Torah, you're rejecting the heart of the Creator. He's leading you. Worship leaders, you want to get to the presence? Your job as a worship leader is to lead people into the presence so that what? So the Father can minister through Yeshua to you, right? Follow the pattern of the tabernacle. You want to learn how to pray? You pray according to the tabernacle pattern. Repentance. Reconciliation of the altar. Sanctification of the laver. Then you have the right to go into the holy place. But only the priest can go in. Wait a minute. We are a nation of priests, right? Then how do we approach the king? This is a serious question. Restoration of all things. We are restoring the language. We are restoring scriptures, even changing some of the things back to the original. So how about restoring the worship? How about restoring the way we approach him? How about restoring the way that when we go to him, we do it in awe, fear, and respect in such a way that when he hears the prayers of his saints, the heavens have to stop because his servants are calling upon the name of Yahweh. And then he has to incline his ear. Why? Because when the kingdom calls, the king must answer. Those are the rules of the kingdom. Now, this is the tabernacle in the wilderness. The tabernacle in the wilderness is one thing that I've been studying for 12 years. And this is probably the most passionate thing I do. Being a Levite myself, it's no coincidence that this is what I love to do. The tabernacle, one of the things you have to remember, that the tabernacle in the wilderness was built exactly how our bodies should be. In other words, Yahweh says, I want you to start building the tabernacle from the inside out. The Ark of the Covenant first. Then you go through everything else and you finish with the altar of incense. That was the last thing that was built and told by Yahweh to build. It's interesting that in Romans 12:1 says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Doesn't it say that? Well, if that's what it says, then please explain to me biblically, how do you present yourself as a living sacrifice? Because if you are a living sacrifice, then you have to know how the priest used to prepare the animals for the sacrifice. Can you accept anything unkosher? Could you bring a pig to the altar of Yahweh? So, wait a minute. If he's trying to build the altar or the tabernacle from the inside out, and by the way, we are supposed to be that tabernacle in Exodus 25, and I'm getting ahead of the PowerPoint. And if I don't cover the PowerPoint, you won't know any difference anyway. In Exodus 25, says, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. In the Hebrew, it doesn't say that. It says, let them make me a sanctuary, a mikdash, not a mishkan. There are two Hebrew words, one for mikdash, which is you, a mishkan, which means the structure. Okay, build me a mikdash, a sanctuary, that I may dwell within them. That's really what it says. You missed a great place to say hallelujah. Let me explain to you why you missed a great place to say hallelujah. Because it is incredible to me that the creator of the universe, the one who said, let there be light, and there was, and here he created us, and now he is mindful of us in such a way that he wants to dwell within every single one of us. That's why David was sort of in awe, that even though David made mistakes and he sinned, he understood repentance. See, this is the whole issue. If you do not understand repentance, really what it means, then you can never go into the holy place because you'll never get past the door. Is this making sense to you? If we never get past the door, then we're never going to be put on the altar to take away all the impurities of our bodies. Nothing unkosher will go on that thing. So we have to watch what we eat. Why do Yahweh says, eat this, don't eat that. Eat that, don't eat that. Why? Because he wants to dwell within us. And would you agree with me that the presence of Yahweh cannot dwell in a defiled temple? I remember. I wasn't going to say the story, but I'm going to say it anyway. Now let me move on. I can't go there right now. Just give me about a half hour, I'll go there then. But repentance is something that he's looking for. How do we do it? What is teshuvah? My brother Jim said last night that the gospel was to the children of Israel and the 12 tribes together, not to the Gentile first. Will you agree with that? The Gentiles are grafted in. Hallelujah. Okay, so let me ask you a question. I'm a Puerto Rican. I was born in Puerto Rico, raised in the island. I lived in California for a long time. Okay, so therefore, that's why I speak English now. To some of you's opinion, not very well, but I do my best. So therefore, I have been grafted into your country. In 1898, thank you, America, for defeating Spain, we became a U.S. Commonwealth. The Commonwealth of the United States. We are a Commonwealth. Just like Ephesians says that you are a part of the Commonwealth of Israel, I am the Commonwealth of America. I have every right you have. The condition is to be obedient to your Constitution. And by doing that, I've been blessed. I've had a job. I had a career. I had an education. My son was born here. So what if I do not submit to your commandments and your statutes in your country? And I'm a guest in your country. How will you feel? Kick them out! Right? So wait a minute. You are into this kingdom by grace through faith through Yeshua the Messiah. All he wants is for you to obey the rules of the house. Grace got you in the door. Obedience keeps you in the blessing. Very simple. That's what the tabernacle is trying to teach you. Now, the tabernacle, around it, you have the Gentiles that came out of Egypt, the Ger, the strangers, were grafted in amongst them because they were redeemed with them. What they have to learn was now that whatever the cloud goes, that's where you go. In other words, you're not thinking like the Egyptians, you're not acting like the Egyptians, you're not walking like the Egyptians. What you're doing is you are walking the way Yahweh. Remember the one that brought the lightning, the storms. You know, the firstborn were killed. The one who opened the Red Sea. You know, that God. You know, that one. Yahweh. That's the one you follow. And it's very easy to follow him. How do you do it? Let me move on here real quick. I'm sorry. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. This is like habit. Okay. What is the purpose of the tabernacle? To learn to follow the cloud. Many people ask. And they want to be theologically minded. And they keep asking, but what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I don't care. I just want to be a servant to learn how to come to the presence of my King. I want to learn to come before him every day. You don't understand. I got up early in the morning and I did my prayers. And in the middle of one prayer, man, it says something so profound that I just lose it. Why? Because at that moment, it dawned on me that I had the opportunity, me, little Puerto Rican guy, who did so many stupid things for so long, now he restores me, he vindicates me, he equips me with the Torah, and then he tells me, go teach the nations. And it dawns on me that this little Puerto Rican guy is in the presence of the King. And I'm in awe. And I recognize for that moment that I don't deserve to be there. And I don't know what to do with myself, because I recognize that he is holy, he is righteous, and he is worthy to be praised. So the pattern of the tabernacle is to follow the cloud. You follow the cloud, you know where to go. You see, one of the things that we need to learn as believers is forget about theology. When the great tribulation comes, the last thing you're going to worry about is whether or not you're right or wrong. The one thing you want to know is, if this is going to be a greater exodus, greater than the first, then that means that that cloud is going to appear somewhere. Because things are what happened to them, what happened to us. I want to make sure I know which cloud it is. Because in the wilderness, if you follow the cloud that Yahweh set for them, then there was water, there was bread, and there was protection. I don't know. You see, many people don't want to argue about which cloud to follow. You follow the cloud that you want. I'm going to look for the one that has water. Isn't that what Brad said? Okay. Learn to be a community. Learn to depend on their shepherd. Learn the way of Teshuvah. That's what the tabernacle is all about. Now, let me ask you a question. How many doors did the tabernacle have? One. Which way? Through the west, through the north, through the south? Through the east. In other words, if you want to get to the presence of the Lord, you can't go through the west, whichever way you wanted to. You have to go the way He prescribed it, in the manner that He decided to do it. Because after all, He is Elohim and we are His servants. We don't get that yet. Would you agree with me? Are you offended yet? You know, I really thought you, all of you would be sleeping. I thought I was going to speak like 10 people. I was amazed. We definitely in the last days. First of all, like 12 years ago when I started doing this, where's Jim? I don't know where he's at, somewhere. 12 years ago, I'm starting, Father, I'm the only one doing this. Oh, please, Lord, am I the only one? I found out very quickly that there's hundreds and thousands of people doing the same thing, saying the same thing. And then 12 years later, I'm in a Messianic conference with almost 1,000 people in it. You gotta be out of your mind, boy. Either this is the revival that we've been waiting for, or you all crazy getting here early on a Saturday morning. What is the Shuvah? What is repentance according to the Hebraic way? Okay, let's pretend that behind me is the presence of where the Ark of the Covenant was, or the Tree of Life, which is the menorah in the temple. And I want to go away from God. I turn my back from Him west, and I start looking eastward, Kedem. So I'm building a road away from the presence of the Creator to lead me into destruction. Now, eventually, remember, for me to repent, I have to belong in the kingdom, right? Because guess what? You explain what I mean. You know what I mean, so I explain it. Then I decide, I don't want to go in this direction. It leads me to destruction. It leads me to chaos. It leads me to unhappiness. And I said, I need to return. That's what the word Teshuvah means. Return. To turn around. Come back to the point of reference. So I turn my back on in the east. And then I come from the east. That if you talk to Brad, he'll tell you, Mikedem means returning from the ancient ways. Returning to the ancient ways. So now you return back and you turn your back to the sun and you begin to walk back to the kingdom. That's repentance. So if you're repentant, ask me, Rico. How do you know we are repentant? Because it's a Saturday morning, it's Shabbat and you're here. How do I know I'm in the right place? Because you're here on a Shabbat. The tabernacle is to learn that Yahweh was their king and will always be their king. To understand that Yahweh is the center of the camp. That's the key to understand who Yahweh is and what the tabernacle is all about. So you really want to be the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit? Then you better learn who your king is. Then you better learn who your authority is. And when he tells you, son, I don't want you to do that. I'd like for you to do this. And you say, yes, daddy, anything you say, okay, okay. Not because you want, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. Not Jim Staley. This is the way they want to do it now. They want to buy the blessing from the Creator. I got news for you. First of all, He didn't need us in the beginning. He did it because He loves us for some reason. Second of all, He will bless you because He is the covenant maker. And there's nothing you can do that will keep Him from holding up to His word. But if you obey, then the doors of heaven will open. And the tabernacle is a way of teaching you how to follow that protocol so that you always have access to the grace and the mercy and the blessings of the Creator. Are you with me so far? All right, let me move on. The book of Hebrews contains 303 verses. 103 of those 303 verses are in reference to the tabernacle. The other book that speaks of the tabernacle, all the books, is 13 chapters in the book of Exodus, 18 chapters in the book of Leviticus, 13 chapters in Numbers, 2 chapters in Deuteronomy, 4 chapters in the book of Hebrews. The book of John is all about the Mishkan, the tabernacle, because he was a Levite, and the book of Revelation uses symbolic symbolisms of the tabernacle. So can you really understand the whole Bible if you don't study the tabernacle? No. That is basically the underlying theme of the Bible, just like the Sabbath, just like the feast, just like the service on the temple. Why? Because He set a pattern on the earth as He was already established in the heavens. Isn't that what the tabernacle is a copy? Come on, people, help me out. Is this interesting to you? You see, we say we love Yeshua, we say we love the Father, we say we love the Torah, but when somebody says, no, excuse me, you got to do worship that way. So, oh no, because it seems to me, or that verse says to me, I don't care what it says to you, is what Yahweh says He wants you to do. And this is something that it sounds arrogant, it sounds harsh, but it's not about us, people. It's not about us. Sabbath, on the weekly days, you do 18 benedictions, 18 prayers. On Sabbath, you do 7. You don't ask for your own petitions on Sabbath. You can pray for the sick, but it's not like gimme, gimme, gimme. On Sabbath, it's all about Him. It's all about how grateful you are, my King and my strength, the covenant keeper, that from the outcast of your people Israel, for the farthest place of the earth, like Dallas, you remember us, and still you bestowed a mercy upon us, and you give us your Messiah so He can restore us back in the kingdom. So we choose, we praise, we exalt, we lift you up on this day that you have set apart. Father, teach me your ways, lead me on your righteousness, and guide me so that I will do what is will, what is your will, what is your plan, what do you want me to do? That should be our prayer. Not like, oh, I want to be smarter, so I want to argue on Sabbath. We forgot our duty as servants, that we are the servants. And He said, this day, I'm going to give it to you off, free, so you can spend time with your family, so you can just praise me. You see, whatever it is, Yahweh just likes the praise of Israel. And He likes you to know how He likes it. Guys, do me a favor. Next time you want something from your wife, like you want a kiss or a hug, okay, or you want a special date, you say, yo, woman, when I come back from work, you're going to give me my food. How are you going to do it the way I want? See how far that gets you. But then if you go to your wife and you said, sweetheart, you are my queen. I delight in you. I give you half my kingdom. You look so beautiful today. Hallelujah. Honey, I have a request for you. Will you please do this for me? And because we approach her with a respectful manner, and because we lifted her up to the point that she felt she was the most beautiful woman in the world, hallelujah, she'll do whatever you want. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how about us, the bride of Messiah? Ladies, when was the last time you told your husband, yo, lazy bum, get up and throw the trash out right now? Some of you going, last night. Especially when he's watching a football game. How far is that going to get you? I don't think so. But what if you go to your husband and you say, my king and my priest in my home, have I told you how much I love you today? How much protected you make me feel? I says, will you please throw the trash out now? Yes, maybe, whatever you want. So what about if you do something wrong and then you're trying to approach your wife? She's not going to like you very much. You already know halfway, half a mile, you know when she's mad at you. All of a sudden now, you go in and you start talking to her. You're finding the way to appease her. You're finding the way to get into her good graces. You're finding the way to get back to her heart, right? We are the bride of Messiah. Our groom is good and righteous and just. You see, He died for you. Our Father in the heavens, He has given His Son so you will have access to His mercy. So therefore now, we say, in the name of Jesus, we claim, we demand right now. How dare you, when you don't even obey the most smallest commandments? We have no right to claim and to demand when we don't obey. So this is true in our daily relationships, but when we take it to the Father, it's like, well, by the blood of Jesus, you have to do it right now. Excuse me? You're talking to the King. You just don't approach the King in that manner. You wouldn't do that to your wife, or you wouldn't do that to your husbands, but we do that to the King, the one who gave you access to the mercy through Yeshua by grace. Is this making sense to you? We better shake ourselves. We better know our place. Because right now things are happening in such a way that if the Haley thing didn't wake you up, that disaster, if that didn't wake you up, then you're not in this planet. It's not very far from here, is it? So we have to be thankful and grateful. We have to help those people that have that are in need. You want to love your neighbors yourself? There's a chance. So we need to understand how to come to His presence. Israel is the center of the earth. Jerusalem is the center of Israel. The Holy of Holies is the center of Jerusalem. That's the place where He has established as His worship. Let me go back. I want to show you something about repentance. You can never go through the door You can never go through the door unless you understand repentance. And there's nobody else better to understand repentance. And I'll let you know right now, every time I read the Psalms, I lose it. I'm going to tell you why. Do you know when I sing something like, you are holy, you are righteous, and you are worthy, and you are awesome, strong, and mighty, and Yahweh, if you... You know when I pray that, or when I say that, do you realize why I say that? Because I remember 12, 13, 15 years ago when I was in the world, and I grew up in the church, and I was miserable in the church, and I left the church because they would not teach me, and I figured I'd be miserable in the church, I'd rather be miserable in the world. That's how immature I was. But you see, I knew that I had a calling in my life, and I knew that I would go to the nations some days. I just didn't know how or when or how I was going to do. So I decided to walk away from the only thing that meant anything to me. But I remember three occasions in my life while I was in Venezuela. I remember one time I lived in Venezuela for 6 years, and I was doing stuff that I should have never done because I knew better. You understand? I knew. I read the Bible. I knew them. I didn't quite understand it all, but I understood it, and I was still transgressing it because I was miserable. My hurt from the church kept me from doing the obedience to the Father. And I remember one time, specifically that one time, that I was lonely, I was desperate. I don't know if you know, I used to be a professional baseball player, and I was a baseball scout, and I was a minor league baseball player. But I was miserable. I reached my goals, and I was miserable. And I remember going up, and I remember my darkest moment, I opened the Bible, and I didn't want to open it like Jim said last night because I didn't want to be accountable to it. I knew better. I would always go to this verse, to this chapter. Because you see, I understood that David knew repentance. This is when he got caught with Bathsheba, remember, committed adultery? And I started to read. And I began to have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness. See, the word Elohim means master and judge. Have mercy. Have mercy on me, O master. My master, my Elohim, my judge. According to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you shall make me know to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's a Yom Kippur idiom, by the way. Make me to hear joy and gladness. The bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Oh, this is my part right here. And I sing this all the time. Give me a clean heart that I may do what you want. You know what? Because when I was in the world and I still struggle with certain issues like arrogance. As a baseball player, you want to survive, you got to be arrogant. Because you don't know the difference between confidence and arrogance. So that's a struggle. I don't know how to deal with that sometimes. So I pray to my Father, says, create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. And what kept me alive 12 years while I was in the world, what kept me going to the point that I knew there was hope in my life. Because even though I was doing things that I shouldn't have done, but I understood repentance, you see? Because I went to the only source that I could find who touched the heart of the Creator, you see? So therefore, the only fear that I've ever had in my life is not about anything but the next verse. And I will remember crying and weeping, says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. That was my only fear. Do everything else you want to do. I'll pay the price for my iniquity. I'll do whatever you want. Oh, but my Father, don't take your presence from me. Don't take your spirit from me, because then I don't know what to do. Then I'll be completely lost. And that kept me alive. Because I said, okay, I know. I recognize my sin. I recognize that I'm not holy according to your standard. But if you call me once, can I still find favor before you? Then I remember coming back to the ways of Yah in late 97, early 98. And I said, I just want to know your ways. I want you to know me by name. I want you to circumcise my heart. I want you to show me. I want to be a man like David. I want a heart of David. Because he understood repentance, you understand? And worship and praise. Is this making sense to you? And then watch how this became fulfilled in my life. And this is why I am so enthusiastic all the time. And people ask me, how come you're just so enthusiastic? How can I not? He did not take his spirit from me. In my lowest point on earth, in the time of my misery, in my time of my disobedience, he still was faithful to the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he will gather his dispersed from the farthest corners of the earth. And when I came running back to him, he just waited with his arms wide open for me to back in the kingdom. And the kingdom was not fulfilled until every single one of you are back in it. And then listen to what it says. It says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, Yeshua T. And it says, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be considered converted unto you. I don't know if you follow my ministry, but this is basically what I'm doing now. Why can I do this? Because I understood repentance. And I was willing to surrender. Are you willing to surrender? When you surrender, you give away your will and you put his will. When you surrender, your ways is no longer important. His ways is what matter. When you surrender, you no longer have an ego. Messiah lives in you. When you surrender, that's why there's a prayer. It says, Hineni Adonai. When they call him, Hineni Adonai. Here am I. But in Hebrew, it's like raising up your hands and say, I am here for you. Hineni Adonai. Hineni Adonai. Hineni Adonai. Here am I. Here am I. That is a servant's cry. Can you say, Hineni Adonai? But understand that when you say, here am I, you got to do what he says. But we lost that. We lost the concept of what? Of following the understanding of submission. The message of the Mishkan in the wilderness is to show the focus of our attention should be on the place where Yahweh has put his name. Jerusalem was built in the letter, in the shape of the letter Shin. Looks like this. Does this look familiar to you? All Jerusalem used to be built like the letter Shin, El Shaddai. Now the tabernacle had three courts. Had the outer courts, had the holy place, and the holy of holies. That is a type and shadow of three different levels of spirituality of a believer. You have the fleshly believer who needs to see the sun to believe. Then you have the ruach, those led by the spirit, by the living Elohim, by the light of the menorah, right? In other words, the spirit of God leads you, guides you, remind you that Paul says the law is spiritual. And then you have the Holy of Holies, which that's the only place Yahweh dwells that you can never get into. Did you know that? The only one who can get into the Holy of Holies is the Messiah, Yeshua, because he is the high priest. You and I have no access to the Holy of Holies. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. Get that straightened out. Because the way the priest used to go in on Yom Kippur to the Holy of Holies, did you know the whole requirement of what he had to do for a whole week and then on the Day of Atonement? The guy couldn't eat, and he could not sleep the night before. He had to be kosher. To go into the Holy of Holies and not die, you have to do everything exactly the way it was prescribed. By the way, if you offer the incense in the wrong manner, you die. So if you tell me you were in the Holy of Holies with the Lord last night, you better think it twice. Because the priest will not eat a pepperoni pizza before he will go into the Holy of Holies. Are you with me? Because after all, the tabernacle was from the inside out. Remember? He started with the Ark of the Covenant, and then he went to the other instruments, and then he finished inside with the altar of incense. So if we are following that pattern, is this making sense to you? In my opinion, every time you come to the congregation and you begin to worship leaders, listen, I'm not telling you what to do. But if you really want to do the job of a worship leader does, which is leading people into the presence, follow the pattern of the tabernacle. Teach about repentance. You don't have to do an altar call. Think about this for a minute. If you really lead people into the worship of Yahweh following the pattern, you don't even have to ask, do you want to accept Yeshua? They'll come right away. Because in the middle of the whole worship, they recognize that they are sinners, that they don't deserve to be in the same planet with anybody else. And then they recognize that they need something more. And then you lead them into the next step of the altar. Put them on the altar. Put your excuses on the altar. What's going to keep you from becoming sanctified? Are you with me? So you repent, and then you say, okay, I want to get to the next step. You can't get to the altar unless you don't recognize your faults. You already recognize that you sin, but you cannot go to the next step on the altar if you don't recognize your faults, if you don't leave your excuses behind. Now, once you put your excuses behind and you're willing to burn them on the altar, then you can go to the laver. Now you deserve to be sanctified, your hands and your feet. Come on, give me a hallelujah, something. Then once you become sanctified, that you left your excuses behind and that you already repented at the door. And by the way, you could not go inside the tabernacle unless you saw the priest first. Who is our priest? Yeshua the Messiah. He is the door. He is the way to the Father. No one can come to the Father but by me. That is a tabernacle idiom. Did you know that? Oh, how much I love the Torah. You don't understand, man. I open the Bible now, and I have a 60% chance of understanding the Bible today. It is exciting. Hey, how many of us remember being in the church, man, and you don't know what the heck the Bible was talking about? And the Bible says, in the red letters, right? Pentecostal's coming out. Don't get me started, huh? Come on now. And the Bible says you got to do this and you got to do that, and you have no clue what you just said, but it sounded good. But you see, when you go back to the way Yahweh does things, it's no longer about hoopla. It's no longer about making you feel good. It's all about we are the vessels. We are the servants. He speaks through us so that you understand the clear message of how to come to His presence. I don't take any credit. Don't be that impressed, because you see, it wasn't that long ago that I was in a real bad shape in my life. I'm only here because He had mercy on me. I don't know why. But for some reason, my King is so good that when I call upon His name, or when you call upon His name, He actually listens. I don't know why. No, come on, let's be real. How many of you understand that? Okay, let me put this in perspective. Okay. The King, the creator of everything, the one who created, and by the way, the universe still expanding. I don't quite understand it, but I believe it because it's happening. The King of everything. I mean, the one who created you, He's sitting on the throne, Yeshua at the right hand. And then when they start dancing and they start worshiping, and those who have a sincere heart and a contrite spirit, and they start calling Him with awe and respect and fear, and they start approaching Him in a manner pleasing unto Him, as a husband approaches his bride with tenderness and loving care. And as the bride treats him like the high priest and the king and the sovereignty and the home, if you treat your husband that way, if you treat your king that way, then the heavens will stop. And then the father will start, my son, incline our ear to hear the prayers of the servants, of our servants. Why would He do that for us? Why would He do that for you? Why would He do that for me? What is so special about us that He should be so mindful of us? You got up early this morning to look forward to listening to a message. Is it the person you're listening to, or the message that the Father is giving through that person? You see, I submit to you that if we want complete restoration, we have to stop being arrogant. We have to stop being know-it-alls. We have to stop being thinking that we have any kind of knowledge, because it wasn't that long ago that we didn't even know the real name of Messiah. It wasn't that long ago that we didn't even know that there was such a thing as a feast or the Sabbath. It's in the Bible, but we never really even read it. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. See, there goes the whole teaching. Sometimes, if we don't understand the levels of how to approach Him, the right, the understanding, and the knowledge and the wisdom and discernment, that you will never have access to the Holy of Holies. Why? Because the tabernacle was designed in such a way that you can only go in through the east. Now, the walls, you know, the linen garment around, there was like 7 feet high, 5 cubits. 5 cubits width, 5 cubits high. 7.5 feet high. Now, what's interesting is, it's surrounded by linen garments. Linen is righteousness, but linen goes beyond that. Let me give you a little, I'm going to talk about it in my breakout session about frequencies. Linen has a particular frequency that is unique amongst other materials, other garments. Linen and wool. You know the Bible says do not mix linen and wool? Do you know why? Say no, Rico, tell me. I'm glad you ask. See, linen has a 5,000 signature frequency, just like wool. Scientifically, they've proven that if you mingle those two, it cancels itself out. So the linen around the tabernacle was supposed to be a type and shadow of the linen that we should wear so we can be electromagnetically charged. Do, 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 do. But did you know that silk has a frequency of zero? Cotton has a frequency of 45? The lesser, the worse. Does it surprise me that there are people right now in the Messianic movement wearing linen? There's one right there. Because you understand the powerful frequencies of the language. He is restoring everything. You see, that's why the priests have to wear linen. Check this out. He was barefooted. He needed to be grounded. He was wearing linen because it absorbs the sweat, so he would not be electrocuted. You think I'm kidding? MIT came to the conclusion that the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, was the best electromagnetic frequency conductor ever built. Go back and look at the ancient Indiana Jones movie back of the 80s. Remember, they were looking for the Ark of the Covenant, and then it's like, you know what I mean? So therefore, now you have to be electromagnetically charged. You have to be hydrated. You have to be in a way of presentable before the Lord. How many of us struggle with letting go of the way we eat? This is a challenge. It's like Brad said, you profane the family, you profane the land. So no longer can you be in tune with Him. So what is happening amongst the Messianics? We are beginning to go back to the ancient ways. Some people are eating like Genesis diet. Some people are eating healthier. Some people are moving back to the ways of old. Why? Because our King is coming. And our King is coming for a bride on the file. You will not dare offer a meat on the altar that is profane. The last time somebody did that, the whole altar was defiled. Antiochus Epiphanes brought a pig and sacrificed it on the altar, right? Right? Yes? Wasn't the altar completely destroyed after that? They had to restore a new one? So now I'll tell you the story that I was going to tell you in the beginning. There was a lady who came to me and says, well, you know, do you believe speaking in tongues? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the presence of God can dwell in a defiled temple? And she goes, no, it can never dwell, you know, typical, no, the presence of God can never dwell in a defiled temple. And then I told her, have you ever heard the story of the Maccabees? And she says, no. Okay, so, and I said, well, Antiochus Epiphanes, Syrian general came in and he built, he desecrated the altar by putting a pig on the altar, and then he put an image of Zeus in the holy place, and the temple, the presence of God, you know, cannot dwell in the defiled temple. Would you agree with this? And she goes, hallelujah, praise the Lord. She was Pentecostal too. Puerto Rican lady. You know, they're very zealous, you know. Right, Bobby? So all of a sudden now, I'm talking to her, and she goes, no, the presence of God, but very adamant. You know, the presence of God will never dwell in the defiled temple. And I said, are you the temple of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Do you eat pork? She went like, I'm not going to argue if speaking in tongues is for you today or not. I'm not God. I don't quite understand everything. But I know, and I look at the vessel. I will look at the vessel. If you tell me you're the present, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not obeying the commandments, and you're not eating like God says, and you're not walking like He says, guess what? Every time somebody did that, they kicked them outside the camp in the tabernacle. Am I a heretic yet? Are you getting this? Hey, listen, don't believe me. Go look it up. I challenge you. Go look it up. And if you win, then Jim will give you all his money. I have none. Are you guys getting something out of this? I've decided, on behalf of Wisdom and Torah Ministries, I've decided what the Father's given me is to try to stop arguing about who's right and who's wrong. It's not even about theology. I decided that if I'm a Levite, which I am, okay, then I'm going to do what the Levites are supposed to do. Just try to help people understand the worship of the Creator. That's it. That's my role. That's my duty. I'm not going to argue with you about theology. I may disagree or agree on certain things. But when it comes to the worship, I don't really care what your opinion is. We have to go back to the Bible. We have to go back to the way He establishes. And I have to submit to it. You have to submit to it. And remember, you already agreed with me. You already told me that if Messiah were walking through the door, you would not know how to render honor to your king. Why? How many of us are taught in the church to study the temple service or the tabernacle for that matter? Only when it's convenient to them. Am I right or am I wrong? So if you do away with the first half of the scriptures, then you don't know how to receive your king. Ooh, and the enemy is really smart, isn't he? So now we are the kingdom. We proclaim this and we go everywhere saying, Yeshua is the Messiah. Yeshua is the Messiah. Yeshua is the Messiah. In the meantime, the Muslims, they know how to render honor to their God. The Hindus know how to render honor to their God. You know, all those people, all the religions know how to render honor to their gods. And we have the true Yahweh of creation who sent His Son Yeshua. We have no idea how to come to His presence. We are in peril. We are in trouble. And if we do not repent, and if we do not change, judgment will come sooner than later. So today is not a teaching about making you feel good. Today is establishing one of the steps of restoration. The language, the Torah, the commandments, the worship. Everything goes hand in hand. Are you with me? Are we willing? Imagine if today and tomorrow, throughout the whole day, you decide to forget about being right or have an agenda, and you say, Father, I'm here on your Sabbath, and you brought me from all over the United States to come to this conference. I choose to praise you. I choose to honor you. I choose to exalt you. I choose to read your scriptures and believe it because you said it, just because you did like a child. You know, Father, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to delight in you. I'm going to uphold you. Oh, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. This is very important. The whole world would change if you would just come in one consent, one voice, one mind, and one heart. And that's what the tabernacle is all about. The tabernacle is trying to teach you right there, if you see it. The tabernacle is trying to teach you that as long as you look to the center of the camp, and as long as that cloud is in the midst of the congregation, no one can mess with you. Nothing can come against you because the angel of Yahweh will surround you, will guard you, will protect you as long as you obey and you become part of the camp. Can anybody who doesn't want to submit to the laws of Israel, can they be part of that camp? So don't tell me you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and refuse to render your body as a willing sacrifice and not submit to that cloud. Is that making sense? See, we have to forget about theology for a minute. We have to recognize that we are wounded, we are blemished, we are damaged goods. We are damaged goods, and still, He knows you by name. Still, He wants to use you. Still, He wants to lift you up. Still, He says, my sons and daughters, would you please come back to my heart? Would you please come back to my Torah? Would you please come back to my commandments? Would you please come and learn how to worship me the way that I like? Just like a husband would like to be respected by his wife. Ladies, if you respect your wife and you make him feel like the king and the priest of that home, he'll give you everything he has. And if he doesn't, he's not a good king. And the Father will render judgment on him. So how much more us that have given our lives through Yeshua to the Father, our son Messiah. And now we come to Him and we're learning the principles of our faith. And we're walking. And then we encounter a huge wall in the middle. It's called Sabbath. A huge wall after that, the feast. An even bigger one, which is eating kosher. Oh my Lord, oh heck breaks loose after that. Do you think it's a coincidence that in the Bible, the center of the Bible is the word gachon, which in Leviticus 11:42, the word belly, right? The word belly has to do with gachon. It doesn't mean belly in Hebrew. It means everything here, from the heart, from the stomach, from the genitalia. Interesting. Why? Because in Acts 15, it talks about what? Idolatry, fornication, and permitted foods, right? When you talk to a Christian brother, one of those three areas will reveal themselves. It sounds like baseball signs. When you talk to a Christian brother who doesn't quite understand where in the world we're coming from, one of those things will happen. Hey, brother, did you know that Christmas is not ordained? It's a pagan feast? Oh, no, because Jesus was born on the 25th of December. Really? Prove it. Well, that has to do with the sun god worship. You didn't know. Okay, don't worry. But if you don't know, it's okay. Repent and change your ways. But the feast, you see, Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles, you know, you need to come back to that. Oh, no, that's done away with. Did you know the word moedim, the word feast, means appointed time, right? Okay, appointed time to go to the tabernacle to meet with him. Then you got to bring an offering. Then you have to offer the right way. The priest will have to do it for you. So it can be accepted upon the Lord, right? But the root word, or the word feast, is yaad. Moedim, the root word is yaad. And yaad means betrothed. Let me repeat that. The root word of the word moedim is yaad. And yaad means betrothed. In other words, when I say to somebody who accepts Yeshua and you recognize Yeshua as your groom, then you say, hey, why don't you come back to Passover, which is the feast, to show the world that you're betrothed, that you're redeemed by the Messiah. Oh, no, 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 we want to keep Easter, which has to do with Easter Ashtoreth, which is the fertility goddess. You understand where I'm coming from? And then you say, hey, why don't we celebrate Pentecost? They celebrate Pentecost. Oh, they say, the power of the Holy Spirit. Ha! But you know, the Pentecostal movement, the day of the Holy Spirit really had nothing to do with Acts 2, which, by the way, there were not one pagan Gentile in there. Okay? It has to do with 1914. That's the original understanding of when the Pentecostal movement was created. So now when you say, hey, let's go back to the day of Pentecost. Oh, no, we don't have to do that. But wait a minute. On that day, the Holy Spirit was given. And 1,500 years earlier, the Torah was given from the mountain. So now you have spirit and truth. Now, interesting. 3,000 people died. Why? Because they worship another god. And then 3,000 people came to the faith. Were there to Yeshua? Full restoration. Full restoration. Even in the columns of the tabernacle, there's a plan of salvation. Are you with me so far? Am I scattered all over the place? That's okay. This is normal for me. I understand me. Do you understand me? I love to teach. You know, some of you come up to me and say, oh, man, we love you, bro. You say, yo, whatever. I say, you don't understand. I look at myself and go, like, I don't know what they're looking at, but whatever. Every night when I go to sleep, I say, Father, have I found favor before you? Are you pleased with me? Why? Because I recognize that what we do here is not an easy thing. Like Brad said, our words are measured higher than anybody else. Teachers, please. You know what I decided to do to make sure I cover my back? Father, I decided to try to share with people your statutes, your commandments, and I want to lead them to your presence according to your way, according to the tabernacle and the temple. You deal with them. My duty is to just try to share with them how to come to you. And when somebody's trying to do something that is not acceptable according to worship, it's like, dude, excuse me, this is not about your way of worship in the church right now. What is happening right now is entertainment. And if there's a worship leader in this place today, and you decide to do worship, and you're trying to entertain, to be famous, good luck. It'll never happen. But if you start singing scripture, and if you begin to sing his words back to the people, and you begin to use the Hebrew language because it resonates frequency that has the power to create, and you begin to present yourself as a living sacrifice, rightly acceptable before the Creator, and then you begin to sing his praises and his words to the people, then the Father is using you as the vessel to minister to his people. Just when you go to Sabbath on a synagogue and he uses mere human beings, this is what happens in the synagogue. See, you come and you pray. You ask, Father, thank you. You keep going, 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 going. Then you stop, okay? And then you sit down. And then they bring out the Torah scroll. See, now he's ready to talk back to you. You speak to him, and then you sit. The Torah is open. You stand up when the Torah is open, because the word of the Lord is in the midst of the congregation. And then all of a sudden, he says, I want to speak to my people. Through you, wounded vessel. Through you, people that I've sanctified. Now he's using you to speak his words. So if you learn how to worship Yahweh in spirit and truth, and you're speaking His words, you're singing His words, it's as doing this. And you start singing, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are recalling the ancient covenants back in Genesis 15. And because He walked through the pieces, and He cannot break His covenants, He will act for His righteousness' sake, for His right hand's sake, for His Torah's sake, because He is faithful and we're not. The tabernacle is the way of the Creator to say, even though you are corruptible, someday I'll make you incorruptible. How do I know this? Say, Rico, how do you know? In the column of the tabernacle, you have one column, 5 cubits high, that was composed of acacia wood. According to Septuagint, it is incorruptible wood. Not even a piece of worm can go in it. So therefore now, I don't know if you've been to Israel. How many of you have never been to Israel here? Hallelujah. October 27th through November 10th. Or you can go with GLC, Med Pro, or you can go with Bill and Brad. Well, I don't care who you go with, just go to the land. Now, when you go to the land, you're going to notice the acacia wood is not very thick. The trunks are not very thick. In other words, you have to cut them and then neatly join them together. Does it sound familiar like Ephesians says? And then you put a band of silver around it to keep it support, to keep it united. Bands, redemption. Silver is redemption. Gold is divinity. Brass is judgment, right? Say yes. Yes. And then in the bottom you have like what is it called? Joints. I remind you, we have joints. Okay? So you should say, ooh, that's cool. Now here you have the joint. And then you have the column to keep you tied together. Then you are put in place by a band of silver, redemption. Then the capital, in other words, the top of the column is made of silver. So in other words, and it's pointing up. Then you have a linen sheet going right through the whole thing, means righteousness. In the column of the tabernacle, you see the whole plan of salvation. Not only is Yeshua indestructible and immortal. In other words, He lives forever, right? But He will make you one too. You will live forever. You've been promised that He will give you eternal life. How? Because only through our redemption, we have been jointly knit together so we can look up towards our redemption. And there are two cords in each column of the tabernacle. According to Levitical legend, means spirit and truth. And it's neatly balanced between one and the other by the vavims, like the nail that gives you the balance. But by the nail of Messiah, He will make us incorruptible so that therefore our looking to our redemption, we can neatly be joined together so we can be incorruptible humanity in the world to come. In the column of the tabernacle is the plan of restoration and salvation. Not only is the door a type and shadow of repentance, not only the ultimate berg, a way of reconciliation, not only is the labor a way of sanctification, not only is He teaching you that when you go into the holy place, now the metals change. Outside is brass, and here you go from silver, or from copper, from brass to silver, but when you go into the Holy of Holies, you go from silver to gold. Now you're going to the next level of going up spiritually. Are you with me? Did you get that? The metals change. So when you see the metals changing in the tabernacle, it's the Messiah working in your life. So when you go from judgment and repentance, you go from reconciliation, you go from sanctification. When you step out the door to go into the holy place, you can no longer go in because you've been judged. You go in because you've been redeemed. And if you've never been redeemed, you cannot go in. So what if you start singing repentance, reconciliation, sanctification, and why you're worthy to go into the holy place? Because you've been redeemed by the blood of Messiah. So you can partake of the bread of life. So you can partake of the light of the world. So then you can come into the presence of the King before the veil. And you say, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Blessed are You, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Now you're unacceptable, and you cannot be defiled. If you want to do a very interesting study, do a study on what is called Tameh Tahor. Tameh Tahor. Clean and unclean. Man, you'll learn really quickly how defiled we've become. It makes you realize really quickly how grateful you are for the blood of Messiah. Because none of us deserve that. You get something out of this already. I don't know anymore how to convey the message. I'm doing my best, my king, my shield, my strength, and my... Give me the words to show your people, to share your people how to come to you. Oh my God, my king, my shield, all I want is for the people of this world to see how wonderful you are, how great you are, how merciful you are, how loving kindness, how loving tender mercies you have to your people, Israel, and anybody who calls upon your name. Teach us your way so we may go back into the proper way to give you honor and praise. We need to learn how to come to your presence. We need to learn to just prostrate ourselves before you. Say, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Blessed be his name and his kingdom forever and ever. We don't know. We are a kingdom in disarray. We are a kingdom without balance. We are a kingdom without direction. We are a kingdom looking for the cloud, and we are looking for man instead of looking for him. So I submit to you this weekend, don't be entertained by us. We are not that important. We are doing our role. We are doing our part. We are doing our thing, but the kingdom belongs to all of us. And the kingdom is because we are all together echad. We are all together as one. See, if you want to be part of the kingdom, you must obey the commandments of the kingdom. So return to the Torah. Return back to the ancient path. Come back to the Sabbath. Come back to the feast. Return! Come back! This is not something that is burdensome. I delight in the commandment. I delight in his word. There's a prayer that is at the end of the Siddur. And you know, it's really interesting because I'm going to read it to you. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to finish with this. Will you please all stand? I hope you got something out of this teaching today. More than anything, it's not about facts. I'm learning really quickly that we can give you all the facts and all the studies and all that. But if our hearts are far from doing his will, information is useless. How many books are there with all kinds of great information, and we don't even take advantage of them? This is one of them. This is the only one that really matters. But you know what? I want to pray to my Father today, because you see, it's not about me, it's not about you. And I hope and pray that he's pleased with us. That when we begin to dance every night, every morning, every afternoon, that when my brothers Calderon are doing the dancing, understand that to them, this is not a thing to do. To that couple over there, this is the best way they can present themselves as worship, as a living sacrifice. Every step means something to them. So if they see you around messing around, they're not going to like it, because they're thinking that's their ministry, to lead you into like angels. Do you realize what is happening? In the heavenly realm, there are angels saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, Adonai Sabaoth. The whole earth is filled with your glory. And the angels are dancing and worshiping and praising the Creator. And then now we are imitating that. So they begin to dance and praise when we're singing unto the Lord, just like the angel. So guess what? He is using you and me, imperfect vessels. He sanctifies us. He restores us. He vindicates us. He gives us a new name. He brings us into his kingdom. He gives us commandments that are good commandments, so that you can be like the angel. So you have the right to worship him in spirit and truth. So now, just like you do prayers in the Siddur, that you sing the Psalms. You sing the Psalms to prune your heart, to prune your mind, to prune your attention. So therefore you start praying. So when you take 3 steps back and then 3 steps forward, you're in the presence of the King and you know what to do. And at the end of the prayers, you pray for the receiving of prayer. Hear our voice, O Adonai Elohim. Take pity and show compassion to us, and receive our prayer with compassion and favor. For you are Elohim who hears prayers and supplication, our King. Do not turn us away with nothing, for you compassionately hear the prayer of your people Israel. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, who hears prayer. Listen to this one. Be favorable, O Adonai Elohim, to Israel, your people. Turn their prayer and restore the service of the Holy of Holies of your house and the fire offerings of Israel. And their prayers may you speedily accept with love and favor. And may the service of your people Israel be continually favorable to you. May our eyes behold your return to Zion with compassion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restore his dwelling presence in Zion. We gratefully thank you, for it is you who are Yahweh, our Elohim, and the Elohim of our forefathers forever, our rock, the rock of our lives, shield of our salvation, and you from generation to generation. We shall thank you and relay your praise for our lives, which are committed to your power, and for our souls that are entrusted to you, for your miracles that are with us every day, and for your wonders and favors in every season, evening, morning, and afternoon. Oh, good one, your compassion's never been exhausted. Oh, compassionate one, your kindness never ended. We have always put our hope in you. For all these, may your name be blessed, exalted, extolled, our King continually forever and ever. Everything alive will gratefully acknowledge you, Selah. May the praise of your great names acknowledge you. And may the praise of your great name sincerely. O Elohim of our salvation and help, Selah, blessed are you, Yahweh, whose name is the Good One, and to you it is fitting to give thanks. Establish peace, abundant peace, upon your people Israel forever, for you are King, Master of all peace. May it be good in your eyes to bless your people Israel at every time, every hour. With your peace, blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses his people Israel with peace. May the expression of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart find favor before you, oh, my Yahweh, my Elohim, my rock and my redeemer. I thank you and acknowledge you. We praise you this day, for you are holy, you are righteous, and you are worthy to be praised. Thank you for making your way known to repentance back to your Torah. Thank you for making your way back of your tabernacle to be restored back as your people, to come before you in awe and reverence and respect. Thank you, oh my King, for finding favor on your people Israel, because you remember the covenant you made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not for our righteousness, but for your righteousness' sake, for your Torah's sake, for your right hand's sake, are we here today alive by your mercy. So here we give ourselves to you. Here we give our hearts to you. Here we want to worship you. And we are thankful, we are in awe. We ask for wisdom that we could always praise you, that we could always obey you, that we could always delight in you. And my Father, if I have found favor before you, I may ask that you restore your kingdom speedily in our time and in our seasons. That the whole world may know that you are true, that you are covenant keeper, that you are the true God of creation, and that you are the true God of Israel. That the nations will know that you will defend us, that you will vindicate us. But just teach us your ways and lead us in your commandments, that we may repent, obey, and do every statute that you have for us. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, whom you've given us as a pledge, as a gift to restore back in your kingdom, we are in awe of you. How much you love us that you're willing to give your son on our behalf. We thank you. And may we find favor before you today and this weekend, that everything we do today we're pleasing unto you. And my Father, if I may ask for one more request. For I repent. And we repent. Me and my house, we have sinned against you. Father, if I may ask for one more request, my King and my shield and my strength, will you please bestow upon us mercy and grace, compassion and loving kindness to those who don't quite understand how to come before you? Teach us to be tolerant and compassionate and loving arms, just like you were with us in our time of disobedience. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we come before you in awe, for you are so good, you are so just, and you are so righteous. Amen. Shabbat shalom.